Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on! We're fighting through adversity today, folks. This is the pregame show. I'm your host, Joe Spadoni. Power on and off, constantly, potentially, here at the station. If you're on Twitch, on YouTube, you can see me. Still doing that. Search 95.7 The Game, like and subscribe. But just be warned, if you are streaming, the lights may go out. You may hear a fan in the background. You may hear that go out as well. It's because can't trust the AC unit right now. Got to leave the door open. But leaving the door open at a studio, albeit at 5 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, can be tough. But when you got a guy like Sam Lubman walking in here, helping me out, makes things a little easier. Thank you, Sam Lubman, producer extraordinaire and host of Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, along with Joe Shasky. We're going to discuss some baseball, what took place last night at T-Mobile Park up in Seattle, NL. Finally! Yes, finally! Let's give him a round of applause. Winning for the first time since 2012. Oh my, yeah, they deserve it. They deserve it. I mean, not since Melky Cabrera won the MVP? I don't even... Where was that? Do you remember where that was, Sammy? That All-Star game, 2012?
2012, right?
Yeah, where was... No, where was it? Do you remember the location of that
one? Oh, it was Kansas City.
Kansas City, there you go. Royals, obviously, would go on to play the Giants 2 years later, losing the World Series, and then win in 2015. But I remember Melky Cabrera winning the car and all that. What a monster first half. He had an MVP first half. He carried me in fantasy football that year, and then obviously didn't end too well, getting popped for steroids, creating a fake website and try to clear it all up. But it's all right, Melky. You helped them that season, and you guys won a World Series, and he got a ring. So it's all fine.
Happy endings all around.
Happy endings. Shout out Robert Kraft. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you would like to get involved in the program, that's 888-957-9570. Comcast Business Text Line is the same number to get involved in. Just because the power... maybe intermittent here. Doesn't mean 95.7 The Game's All-Star Week blowout. Yeah, we're giving away a bunch of stuff still. Power be damned. Because the power is always in the people, as we all know here, Sam Lubman. And we still got tickets to see Jerry Seinfeld, Jim Gaffigan. We still got an autographed Klay Thompson jersey out there. We still got a round of golf at Berkeley Country Club out there. And listen, this self-defense course at Evolve Training Center, it's pretty freaking sweet. You got Muay Thai, you got boxing, jiu-jitsu. Barry Bonds went to this place and got a blue belt. Come on. And do I need to talk about...
That guy's in great shape.
Tremendous shape. See him cycling all the time? Yeah.
Cycling's a great way to get in shape. You know, you just get on your bike and just keep riding.
It's good to get the blood flowing in cycling. I would agree. It's also good to get the blood flowing at Berkeley Country Club, Sammy. You been hitting the sticks lately, bud?
No, I've been slacking at that, actually.
Come on. Too much slack in here in the building on that stupid app. That's how you hate it. Sam?
Got as much power in this building as in the Giants lineup.
There you go. Camilo Doval! Alex Cobb! Look at them! Shut down innings. Doval with the win. Let's go. Elias Diaz with the hit of the night. And the 32-year-old catcher making his first appearance for the Colorado Rockies in the All-Star game, and the first Rocky ever to win the All-Star game MVP, broke up the game in a big, big way.
Not going, 2-2 to Diaz, is hit in the air to deep left field, back it goes, Elias Diaz puts the National League in front, at 32 years old in his All-Star debut, a go-ahead home run.
Joe Davis there on the call for Fox Sports, doing a hell of a job, him and John Smoltz last night. And then, old pal, old buddy Craig, oh, this one's always a tongue twister for me, especially on IR, Craig Kimbrell, say that 10 times fast, probably impossible, former Brave, former Dodger, former Red Sox, and now a Philly, two on, two out, just walked Julio Rodriguez. You thought, oh man, Julio maybe hitting a walk-off here, or tying it up at his home park would have been pretty freaking sweet. But alas, Jose Ramirez, the Cleveland Guardian, guy's a baller. Guy hits all over the place, and he is not an easy out, but Craig Kimbrell took care of business.
Two on, two out, and a 2-2 pitch. Ramirez swings and misses. Kimbrell slams the door. The National League's finally back on top. Its first All-Star game win since 2012.
What was that noise at the end of that clip? Let me hear that again.
Two on, two out, and a 2-2 pitch. Ramirez swings and misses. Kimbrell slams the door. The National League's finally back on top. Its first All-Star game win since 2012.
What was that? Was that a player? Was that a fan? I'm genuinely concerned about that human being. 888-957-9570. Any takeaways from the All-Star game for you? I thought it was a fun game. It was exciting. You know, you had a chance, and they were talking about on the broadcast, you had something special potentially happening, a la World Baseball Classic, with two outs. Remember, we had Shohei, we had Japan versus USA in the finals, Shohei versus Trout, two outs, down one. That was pretty cool. He had a runner on base in that situation as well. And here, you had Julio Rodriguez with already a man on, who was a Kyle Tucker that walked, because the inning prior, Brent Rooker got robbed with a liner from, or two, I should say, Austin Riley. What a pairing. Austin Riley, Matt Olson with hell of a dig yesterday as well. NL, again, finally gets their first win in over a decade. But you had a situation there where maybe Julio Rodriguez could have been, you know, the hero of Seattle, get the walk-off, but wasn't meant to be. And again, the NL snaps their streak. So we'll continue to take your calls and text as it pertains to that. 888-957-9570. I keep hearing a lot about the uniforms. People were freaking out about it yesterday. And good morning to Dublin Marge. Appreciate you chiming in. Dublin Marge is here to stay with me. Dublin Marge feels like the kind of person that would help me out if my power was out. So I appreciate you, Dublin. Domage 1212, the pregame show noir. It is very aesthetic. It's very, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Interesting. Artistic. The desaturation of color theory, maybe a little black and white, although there is still color there. Appreciate it. It's romantic lighting. Thanks, Marge. Appreciate you chiming in. But a lot of people were complaining, and I saw Sam Lubman do it on our show thread too. The uniforms were hideous last night, but a lot of people were like, oh, let's just go back to individual uniforms. That's what it should be like, right? Should be whites, grays, there you go. Easy. I was like, yes, we would all love that. But Major League Baseball wouldn't be making money. That's what it's all about, folks. Money. And a way to sell that is not having a regular jersey with a patch on it. No, I can just go buy a patch and sew it on there on my own jersey. No. You create all these jerseys yearly with your persons or your players or your favorite player, your favorite team, whatever, their name on the back, and as a generic American League or National League, because they can sell it and make millions off your candy asses. That's why they're doing it. All right? So you can sit here and complain all you want about it. I don't think it's changing anytime soon. Same reason why the NBA is probably not going to go back to doing that. Because again, Adam Silver, Rob Manfred, they're in the business of money. There you go. Speaking of money, and speaking of finances, the Golden State Warriors are spending a lot. I don't think a lot as much as a lot of fans would want them to spend. They think Joey Lightyears is just has infinite bags of money a la Scrooge McDuck. He is not that guy. He may be a shrewd businessman like Scrooge, but there's limits. And he saw the writing on the wall with Jordan Poole, Chris Paul, told Mike Dunleavy, and I'm not saying he's calling the shots, stuff like that, but told Mike Dunleavy, basically, yeah, this is what we got to work with. This is what you got. Go do something. And he did. Got rid of Jordan Poole, brought in Chris Paul, signed Dario Saric, got Corey Joseph, re-signed Draymond Green. All right. So that's pretty much it for the Golden State Warriors this offseason. And Jason Dumas of Cron 4 News joined Bonte and Shasky yesterday. And again, we'll continue to take your calls and text if you want, because it's all about what you want. At 888-957-9570 on the All-Star Game. We'll continue to take your calls and texts on that. Wanted to jump into the Warriors here for a little bit. Again, Jason Dumas joined the Morning Roast yesterday in studio, and if you missed any of that, be sure to download the Odyssey app. Favorite 95.7 The Game, like, subscribe, all that. That interview is up there. It's also up on the YouTube. Search 95.7 The Game, like, subscribe there, Twitch. And you can find all the highlights as well on the Odyssey website. But Jason came in, and it was interesting. We talked a lot of Warriors, and he's very tapped in. Very, very tapped in with the squad. He was obviously the one that broke when Andrew Wiggins was coming back to the Bay Area. He's broken a lot of things around here in the Bay. He had the whole Ben Simmons thing when he eventually left Philly and went to Brooklyn. So that's not going to work there. But Jason had an interesting couple of nuggets. I want to play some of the sound here for you. One of them was the rise of Jordan Poole and it potentially threatening Klay Thompson's spot in the rotation, in the starting rotation last year. And listen, we all know how poor of a start Klay had last year. He explained about it, talked about it. Hey, listen, he didn't want to ramp up a lot in the summer because of what had happened the two previous years. Catastrophic injuries. One in the finals, then one in the offseason. He didn't want that to happen again. I get it. That's a mental block you are going to have to get over at some point. And last summer, coming off a chip, he didn't feel like he needed to push himself. Well, the team suffered early on in the season and continued to suffer throughout the regular season. Not just Klay, the rest of the team. Klay eventually figured out, obviously, having one of the greatest stretches of his career, obviously having the most three-point attempts in the league and the most three-point makes. But the year prior, he saw it. You know, he didn't come back until, what was it, January, February, whatever it was. And Jordan Poole, he was surging. He was playing well. He was getting starts here and there. And Jason Dumas of Cron 4 News with Bonte and Chasky yesterday discussed that rise of Poole threatening Klay Thompson. Take a listen.
The idea of Jordan Poole, before he went into the postseason slump, helped Steph Curry. And I think Steph realizes that Jordan Poole, the emergence of Jordan Poole on some levels, threatens Klay Thompson from a pure basketball standpoint. So you got to keep all that stuff in mind because these are these people's jobs, their livelihoods, how they put food on their plate, egos. So I can see why it kind of went left.
He could see why it kind of went left there. And it was just on the court. It wasn't talking about anything off the court with his attitude or anything like that. It's strictly, hey, listen, they got a young gun in here in Jordan Poole. Hey, I've won four titles. I've won prior to that. I've won three titles with this team. I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. I am one of the core three guys. And I'm going to lose my job to this young punk? No, he's not going to say that. But that's how these guys feel. That's the mindset of the greatest athletes of all time. Hell, we all watched The Last Dance during COVID. We all watched that. That's how these guys are wired, and maybe not to the extreme as MJ, but they take everything personally. They have to. They have to manufacture this constant, motivation, if you will. They have to be constantly on edge, a lot of these guys, because that's what pushes them to be great, to be the greatest at their craft. It's never good enough to just be complacent. Guys like Klay, Steph, Dre, Iguodala, that's what makes them so special. And so what makes them Hall of Famers. Same with Steve Kerr, Hall of Fame head coach. These guys try to go out and be the best that they could be every single day. And part of that is finding that motivation. And for Klay Thompson, according to Jason Dumas of Crown 4 News, that was Jordan Poole. And he was feeling threatened by him. So, 888-957-9570, your thoughts on that. Again, if you're just joining us here on the pregame show, Joe Spadoni discussing All-Star Game, discussing some of the comments made by Jason Dumas, Crown 4. If you're on Twitch on YouTube, you can see this beautiful lighting. Power out at the station. Doors wide open because AC is broken here. So, of course, the AC machine isn't working in the studio. The thermostat's not working. And I do not wish to turn on the fan because that's very loud. So you may or may not hear some sneezes in the background from our own Sam Lubman. But that's all right. It's authentic here. Not sugarcoating anything. At 5:15 a.m. on the pregame show, Joe Spadoni. Power through. Thankfully, I dressed right with this Hawaiian shirt and tank top. If it gets any hotter, maybe I'll just rock the tank top. Don't get that kind of action the rest of the day. Am I right? Oh, boy. 888-957-9570. More from Jason Dumas on the Warriors having to make CP3 feel important. And this goes back to egos. Just talking about Klay Thompson. Egos. Feels threatened by Jordan Poole. Draymond Green. Ego. Clearly felt threatened by Jordan Poole again. So much so that he punched him in the face. Stephen Curry. There's an ego there. Jonathan Kuminga. Clearly an ego. He went to talk to CJ Holmes of the San Francisco Chronicle during the playoffs to voice his frustrations. And now you add in one of the biggest, reportedly, and Chris Paul. And here's Jason Dumas talking about the Warriors having to massage that ego, if you will. Take a listen.
He's a true man of his word. He says exactly what's on his mind. We already saw it on display in that first presser. So it'll be interesting. It's important for the Warriors to get off to a good start. And if he does come off the bench and they're playing well, I think the Warriors are going to, like, they'll be going all in on the PR front. Chris Paul, sixth man of the year.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have to do the fluff that ego. You know, they have to make Chris Paul feel like he has a role and that he's important.
Oh, important. I think that got cut off there. Wide orbit. That's the system we use. Sometimes it cuts off our audio. I would never begrudge the great Sam Lubman who does these cuts. Wide orbit. Man, cutting these things off. Important. You got to make him feel important. And I think that's what is going to be the most difficult aspect of Steve Kerr's job this year. It's not the X's and O's. They know what they're doing. Hell, Chris Paul talked about it. It's not brain surgery. It's basketball. And when I get out there, I know what I'm going to do. And so do the rest of these Warrior players. The problem was the injuries threw everything out of whack last year. No one knew what they needed to do because they weren't playing with the same guys every single night. Different lineups here and there. God, what did they have the most different starting lineups in the league? It felt like it anyways. They were one of them. My goodness. But it's not the X's and O's for Steve Kerr that he has to worry about. It's the egos. It's the emotional aspect, which is why a lot of us felt like the loss of Bob Myers was so massive because he was the fire extinguisher. When all the stuff, when all the S would hit the fan, there's Bob Myers to put it out. He's got to clean up the mess. But you know what? Damn it. Everyone loves and respects that guy in the organization. Not saying they don't with Kerr, but there's a different level when it's the general manager that comes down to calm Draymond Green down. Who else does that? No one. Steve Kerr and him butt heads constantly. And sometimes they needed that guy that has the respect of not only the head coach, but the players. And that was Bob Myers. And we'll wait to see if that's with Dunleavy. I don't think Mike, all due respect to him, has that same ability as Bob Myers. And maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. He's clearly not afraid to swing big. The speaking skills, solid. There was this way of Bob Myers, and this isn't a shot at Mike Dunleavy, like, hell, I wish I was as good as Bob Myers public speaking. I'm speaking on radio to all of you. This guy's amazing. I think whenever he'll pick up his podcast again, he's going to do numbers because he has such a way with connecting to people and making them feel warm and welcome. And he did that with his teammates. Now it's on Steve Kerr. Hey, you got to massage these egos, man. Chris Paul, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, when things aren't going well, when things are not all sunshine and rainbows like they were in the early part of this run, of this dynasty, when things aren't going well, how are you going to calm things down? How are you going to have these team meetings? How are you going to explain to Chris Paul, actually, Chris, during the stretch right now, man, you haven't been playing well. Maybe we bring you off the bench. And he's not going to say it like that. He's going to have to be a maestro with the words, the gift of gab, if you will. He's going to have that. And I'm confident in his abilities to do so. Are you? 888-957-9570 is the number to chime in on that. We'll continue to take your calls and texts as it pertains to the Golden State Warriors. If you're just joining us, yes, power's out in the studio if you're on Twitch and YouTube. That's all right. Powering through. Get it? And also, if you're just joining us, 95.7 The Game's All-Star Week blowout, still going on. Yes, we've had multiple winners. Six winners thus far. But we still got round of golf with one of the shows at Berkeley Country Club. Oh, pristine. Anytime you even hear country club, you just, oh, that's going to be fancy. It's going to be nice. And Berkeley, boy, whew, Berkeley Country Club, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Pair of tickets to see Jerry Seinfeld, Jim Gaffigan, plus a gold-blooded Warriors t-shirt, also up for grabs. Klay Thompson, signed jersey, also up for grabs. Not going to want to miss that. $250 diff card, Alexander Steakhouse. That sounds nice. I like steak. I can go for some steak and eggs right now. Steak breakfast burrito. I can eat steak for every single meal of my life. Oh, delicious. Always medium rare. Hell, if it's a really great cut, I'll eat that rare. Absolutely. It's got to be bleeding. Got to get the bread in there, soak it all up. Oh, beautiful. My dad would make the best roasts all the time. Oh, now I'm just hungry, and I'm hot at 5:21 a.m. here on the pregame show. You know what pairs well with that? Wine. You can win a $250 gift card at Buon Vino, Walnut Creek, and a pair of tickets to Hip Hop Made the Bay at SAP Center, E40, Ice Cube. Oh, I think Too Short might be there. Let's go. November 3rd. So we're still giving away all of that all week long. Be paying attention to the morning roast, Steiny Goo, Willard Dibbs for your shot at winning that. You got to know the show. So you got to be listening and paying attention to all the shows the first few hours. They're going to quiz you towards the end. If you're paying attention, if you got on the line in time, you will have a chance to win. More sound here to react to. Back to the Warriors. More from Jason Dumas of Cron 4. Talking about Chris Paul. Yeah, got to feed his ego a bit. But he is also here to help the team win. And part of that is unlocking Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, the young guys of this squad. And Jason thinks Chris Paul will help tremendously with those guys.
I think CP3 is going to really help the youngsters. He's going to help Jonathan Kuminga. He's going to help Moses Moody. It'll be interesting. I'm not sure how much time Pajemski will be here in the Bay. I think he's going to be in Santa Cruz a lot. I saw Trace Jackson Davis working out at their facility. He looks like good. Him. He hasn't played yet, but he looks good.
I do like him.
He looked good in the little workout setting I saw. Chris Paul comes in. Steph comes in. And we get thrown out the gym. They're like, all right, time to work out. No more cameras allowed in here. I was trying to linger so I could get some footage of that, and I got a phone call from Ray Ritter.
Jason Dumas, Cron 4 News there. Good morning to Ashley Murphy, 1985, Sideshow Bob, Nicole, Ernie, all you guys, Stunna. Appreciate you guys chiming in this early on the pregame show. Again, Joe Spadoni here for the next 37 minutes. Battling. We're battling. Battling the elements. This isn't quite the flu game. I did have my flu game a few months back, a la Michael Jordan, when I was having allergies. Very bad. I forgot my medicine, too. So, a lot of mic turning off, a lot of sound playing, a lot of sneezes in the background. We're fighting through it. That was my flu game. Today, not so much. We had the door open, at least. It's toasty. It's hot. I think I could handle Survivor, the show. If I could do an hour of this, I'm sure I'm fine with Survivor. It's similar, right? Yeah. What's different than having a...
Well, they're all hanging out in the trailers when the cameras stop rolling anyway, right?
I got to be honest. That show's been on for like 23 years, Sammy. I'd never watched one episode. Have you? Were you ever into Survivor at all? Never once. I've never once watched an episode of that show.
When I was younger, like, my dad was really into it, so I kind of watched with him. And then I didn't watch it again until Jeff Kent was on it. I wanted to see kind of what he did. And after that, it was like, all right, I've had my fill.
How'd he do? How'd Jeff do in that season?
He made like halfway through, and then okay. He got voted out. No one figured out that he was Jeff Kent, though. Like, one woman did, but she didn't say anything. But no one else realized it was Jeff Kent.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Kent is so just picturesque middle America looking that it's just like, you know what? I could just be some random guy. I mean, he's a big dude, but also it's just like, if he had the mustache, which I'm sure he did, it'd be like, oh yeah, that's just some guy. That's
basically, yeah, some dude with a mustache from Texas or something.
Also,
like that.
Jeff Kent is one of the most generic names I've ever heard in my life. Like, that even sounds like a made up name. Jeff Kemp. Not as much as Birch Smith. Shout out Oakland A's and San Francisco Giants legend, Birch Smith. But Jeff Kent's up there. 888-957-9570. You know what else is up there? Our break time. We're getting close to it, so better hit that. We'll continue to take your calls and texts as it pertains to the All-Star game. Again, the NL winning 3-2. Elias Diaz winning the MVP. First Colorado Rocky ever to do so. And the first time the NL has won since 2012. Yes, back when Melky Cabrera won that. So we'll take your calls and texts on that, on the uniforms. Did you care? Do you not care? What things that could be improved, not improved, all that sort of stuff. Also, more sound reaction from Jason Dumas. Warriors, how's CP3 going to fit in? Plus, he had one more interesting thing to say in regards to Bob Myers and Chris Paul. That's on the other side here on the pregame show. Joe Spadoni, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
You know what pisses me off? Because I think I've made about $60 million playing baseball. And I want this freaking $1 million in this game. And it's not even $1 million. It's 600 grand by the time Obama takes it. I'm a Game 7 World Series loser. You know, I've played in the biggest games in the world and the worst games in the world. But this just sucks.
Oh my God, thank you Sam Lubman for coming back there and playing Jeff Kent getting eliminated off of Survivor. This is the pregame show, Joe Spadoni. Thanks Obama. Is that where that originated, basically?
I don't know if that's where it originally ran from, but he's definitely leaning into it. Oh. Like, I really want to win that freaking $1 million. I'm a Game 7 loser. I'm like, I don't think that's a good flex there, Jeff.
Game 7, I think he was doing a tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, I'm a Game 7 loser and I lose on Survivor. I was like, you know what? Good on Jeff Kent for doing that, you know? I know Joe Shasky loves, and he loves listening to David Sampson, former president and GM of the Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins, whatever. And he's on with Metal Lark Media with Lebatard all the time. And Sampson, I believe, was on a Survivor, and they always play the clips of him getting eliminated and stuff like that. I just, again, I want to hear from the people that were into the Survivor. Like, I don't get it. I have never gotten it. I don't understand it. 888-957-9570. It's just a bunch of people on an island and you vote them off because you don't like them? Is that the gist of it? Like, yeah.
It's like a reality game show where you vote people off.
Well, like, you have to do tasks and stuff, right?
Like, yeah, like there's challenges and stuff that you gotta do. So, like, basically, like, everyone shows up on this island. You're split into these, you know, quote-unquote tribes. So you do all these games and challenges and stuff. The losing team has to then go to the tribal council and vote someone off the island. And then you just keep doing that until there's only one person left.
Okay. Fair enough. But then you can, like, get immunity and stuff like that, right, through the challenges?
Yeah, there's other, like, you know, dumb stuff. Like, if you... You know, you could find, like, secret idols that can keep you from being eliminated, or eventually if you start winning challenges, you can't be eliminated. So, yeah, it's a game show, basically.
Okay, fair enough. 888-957-9570. I want to know all the diehard Survivor fans out there. I want you to sell me on it, because maybe, you know what, next season, are they still doing it? Thumbs up, I'm assuming so?
It's too late for you to jump into it. Just forget about it.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe I'll catch up eventually one of these days. I'm sure they're all on Peacock or something, some sort of streaming service. We've been breaking down, and we'll get back to Survivor. We've been breaking down the NL taking home the dub in the All-Star game up in Seattle, 3-2. Looked beautiful, by the way. It looked awesome in Seattle. I've never visited... I shouldn't say that. I have visited the Pacific Northwest. Never Seattle. But it gets a bad rap, I hear, just because it rains a lot during the wet seasons. But right now, it's warm. It's nice. It's cozy. It was beautiful last night. I thought the ballpark showcased very, very well. I also thought the crowd was tremendous. I heard sell the team chants from everyone at the stadium. That's when you know you guys are together. All different teams, all different ethnic backgrounds, all different everything. But we could all come together in our society to say, John Fisher, sell the damn team. You heard the chants when Brent Rooker was up and he laced a double. Man, if it just didn't get over the wall, maybe they win that game. But it was a ground rule double, second and third. Bo Bichette comes up next, gets the sack fly. It was 2-1 at that point, and then Elias Diaz hitting a dong there, the Rockies catcher, 32 years old, first Rockies player ever to win All-Star Game MVP, so congrats to him, and congrats to the NL for getting off the schneid. So we'll continue to take your calls and texts on that. We are live up and streaming on Twitch and YouTube, and we were talking about Survivor, because it kind of looks like the cameras that are in there, if you're on Twitch and YouTube right now, because the power's out in the studio. No power. Well, there is some, obviously, because I'm talking to Sam. Sam's talking to me. There's lights in these. These are like the emergency backups to make sure the station doesn't go down. But our whole block is just pitch black. No street lights. No nothing. Everything for miles and miles. I don't know if it's miles and miles. But I can't see anything outside right now. Pitch black. That's it. Not even street lights are up. So it's basically Survivor. That's what I was comparing myself to here. And it's... I want all the different references, and you guys are cracking me up. You got Sideshow Bob. They got our boy in studio doing the show with the flashlight. I love... That's great. Sideshow Bob on the chat. It feels like the Blair Witch Project when they keep shoving the flashlight up in their nose, right? And they're, God, it's all gross and runny. It's a, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid I'm not going to hit the heart out on time. The sticks have faces. Oh, my God. Talk about genius marketing, by the way. I remember when I was like 6 or 7 when the Blair Witch Project was like a thing. And everyone's like, we don't know if this is this real. Is this actual footage? The marketing on
the sticks with the faces was actually kind of creepy when that happened.
Oh, my God. Relax. In hindsight, the sticks have faces. Stop it. That's like,
no, the first time you watch that, though, it's like, okay, this is really creepy now.
Oh, my God. The sticks have faces.
Did you ever watch the sequel?
No, I did not.
No.
No. I know in Paranormal Activity try to take that thing and like go with it. What happened? Did they go lost in the woods?
So in the sequel,
lost in the radio studio.
So like you remember in the first one, like the one chick's like part of the three people who go missing. So in the sequel, this dude is like, I'm gonna go find my older sister and see if she's still alive. It's like, bro, it's been 20 something years. I don't think she's around. Like,
was
punt
she
on this?
So was she not around?
I don't want to spoil the movie.
Yeah, please don't. Says, don't spoil The Godfather. Fredo, what happens with him and Michael? Yeah, don't spoil that either. Jaws, does anyone die in that one? Okay. I love you, Sammy. Sammy's knowledge, deep cuts with random movies, and I appreciate that, and you'll know that from most of the hosts here at the station and producers. A lot of random and useless knowledge, but in sports talk radio, baby,
yeah,
that
knowledge.
means gold. That means ratings. You can get on random topics. Blair Witch Project at 5:38 here on the pregame show. You're not going to get that. Blair Witch Project 2. Paranormal Activity, that was another one. Yeah, like the first one is like cool. And then it was just like, all right, how many demonic children are we going to get that take over the whole household and shove people's bodies around up and down, left and right? Cool, they put a harness on her. We get it. Miss me with that crap. Although The Exorcist scared me as a kid, as a Catholic growing up, my mom refusing to tell me that wouldn't happen. Thanks, Mom, for just humoring me and just say, oh, it's not real, it's just a movie. Oh, actually, son, that I know you're scared, but that actually could happen, so be sure not to do that. Thanks. Thanks, Mommy, if you're listening. God. The Catholic guilt, the Catholic scare tactics. My God. 888-957-9570 if you're with me. Damage, 1212, Pitch Black, another one. Shout out Vin Diesel. Not bad. Was that the Chronicles of Riddick? Is that the same one? That's one where he's like blind or something, or he can't see in the daylight. You can only see at night, like a bat or something. I don't know. I digress here on the pregame show, Joe Spadoni. I guess we'll get back into sports here. More from Jason Dumas of Cron 4 News, who again joined the boys in studio yesterday in the morning roast. And if you want to find that entire interview, just search 95.7 The Game, like, subscribe on YouTube, download the Odyssey app. It's all there. More from Jason here, talking about, you know, as I pull it up here, but discussing the Warriors having to make Chris Paul feel important, right? But also, it's important for them to get off to a fast start, if you will. And specifically, with this Warriors team last season, it feel like it derailed the whole year. That slow start, they never quite could get back to that top form that you were used to seeing the year prior, right? It just never felt like they could quite catch up. It was one step forward, two steps back. Every single time. It's like, oh man, is this when the Warriors are going to get a run, right? Oh, you think of a come from mind. Oh, beating the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, no Giannis, but you know what? Maybe this is the one that changes everything, right? Well, not really. And Jason Dumas talked yesterday with Bonte and Chasky about, you know, them needing to get that fast start. Take a listen.
That's something that could go left really quick. So I think it's really important for the Warriors to get out to a good start next year. And I'm going to assume that he's coming off the bench. Just from a makeup of the team, it makes most sense. But I'm also interested to know if they've had that conversation. Now, who knows with what he said when he was asked and pushed about coming off the bench. And is he willing? He kind of said it hasn't been talked about yet. I don't know if I believe that.
Doesn't know if he believes Chris Paul off the bench yet. Well, what do you believe? 888-957-9570. I'll give you my thoughts on that on the other side, plus the crossover with Joe Chasky joining me in studio in this dimly lit Blair Witch Project Survivor Studio on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Back.
What the hell is going on in this building?
Blair Witch Project, part three. Survive the radio studio until we move at 888-957-9570. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is the pregame show with Joe Spadoni and Joe Chasky joining me for the cross show. What's up, Joe?
This little light of mine,
I'm gonna
let it shine.
It is pretty wild. Now as the sun is slowly starting to creep outside. But
we look ridiculous on YouTube.
Yours looks way worse.
Oh, my God.
There is something. When I filled in for you, too, there is something so unflattering.
Hey, Joey,
about
I'm glowing right now.
You are. No, you look like, I don't even know what it is. It's definitely paranormal activity when they put that filter on to make it look like it's glow in the dark.
I feel like Egon when he got slimed.
There you go.
Like, I'm looking down the hall and the cigarette's hanging off my lip. I don't know if you remember that scene in Ghostbusters.
I totally do. I forget all their name. Venkman?
Venkman was the best. I did not realize how raunchy that movie was till watching it recently. That was the first movie I memorized start to finish.
Really?
Swear to God.
That's me with Dumb and Dumber. Memorized Dumb and Dumber. I was big Joe Dirt guy when that came out, too. Joe Dierte, shout out David
Joe
Spade.
Joe Dierte. Let me take you through my yesterday real quick.
Yeah,
if you don't
let me
mind,
go.
As
yeah,
I take the steering wheel.
You had, much like the station this morning, you had quite a night, or quite a day, I should say.
I mean, I don't know about the electricity being off, but so we played the Zach Gelb sound. I think it was Zach Gelb. Is that his name? I want to make sure
I'm
getting it right.
CBS Sports Radio, national radio.
Feels like everything coming out of my mouth can be clipped at any moment now. And I went on my typical Philadelphia fan rant, and it got taken by WIP, which is their local radio station, and they clipped the audio of me destroying certain scumbag fans when it comes to the Philly fans.
So real quick, so we had Zach Gelb on yesterday, the morning roast. He had an interview with Deebo Samuel, obviously all pro for the 49ers. The interview didn't go well, cut short. It sounded like Debo was just a little perturbed. He gave it to his publicist or his whoever it was. She's like, all right, the interview's over, and it ended well. So we had Zach on to explain that, hey, like, what went wrong?
Yeah.
And Zach basically explained that, listen, it was when I started asking about the quarterbacks, things took a nosedive, and then the interview ended abruptly. So we had Zach on, again, national guy, CBS Sports Radio, does a great job. Used to work at 94 WIP in Philadelphia. Is not a Philly fan, but he said he has a soft spot for them. And that's when we started discussing the Philly fandom. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and look, when you say things like Debo Samuel, like Joe Shasky, myself, as I go third person here in tongue-in-cheek, you know, you got to stand by him. So, and here's what I would say. I had a couple meetings. I get picked up. We're going to go to baseball. It's a two-hour drive just to get to the sticks out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
Modesto.
Where is it? North?
We went to Ceres, okay. California. So it's past, way past Modesto. I had never even heard of it. So, and
God bless
now that
you.
I'm initiated, beautiful baseball fields. We get there. It's 105 under the tree. I'm not making this up. They call their little league team the Blaze. It's a great name.
That is a great name.
It's a great name.
And you start to feel the heat, too.
And the fields were beautiful. I'm not here to deny it. So we ended up playing Rockland, whatever. So I flip open my phone. This is a couple hours.
Oh, Logan Webb.
I flip open my phone, and I'm like, oh, boy. Now, during that time, I had got a text message from Joe. I think it's Joe Giglio. He's one of the Philly guys.
Guy, 94 WIP.
Mispronouncing it, I apologize.
Joe Giglio, yes.
Actually a really nice guy. I've done a lot of hits with him over the years. And he's like, hey, this is how it went, too. He, like, hit me up. I should have known something was up. Where is it here?
Well, wait. The power's on momentarily, folks, but continue.
Hey, Joe. It's Joe Giglio from WIP. Hope you're well. Wondering if you'd hop on with myself and Hugh Douglas tomorrow. Talk Niners-Eagles trash talk.
Who called it, by the way? I did on that. They're reaching out to you immediately.
And then maybe some Phillies-Giants playoff race. Let me know. And I'm like, sure. Not knowing what was lying ahead, okay? Then I flip open Twitter, and I'm like, oh, why? Wow, there's a lot of mentions. And I'm scrolling through, and it is just a cesspool of people commenting. And WIP took the sound of me ripping, you know, scumbag Philly fans,
yes.
Okay? And it just ran with it. And it's got, like, I don't know, 750,000 views, a million views. And it's just people going into my DMs and Instagram, my comment section, ripping my family, ripping my... it's a little, you know, whatever. But you know what? What this part of the business, I understand it. You know, if you say things, you're going to have to be ready for the repercussions, whatever. Here's what I would say, and I will go to my deathbed saying this, okay? I don't like how the fans and the media, because to me it's both, perpetuate this thing that Philly fans are different. And what I mean by that is that we enable behavior that to me is scumbaggery behavior in every other level. Are there good Philly fans? Of course there's good Philly fans.
Yes.
There's good Eagle fans. There's good Philadelphia 76ers fans.
I have cousins and
Philly
live
fans.
In Pennsylvania.
My
yes.
cousin is
yes.
married to a Philly fan.
Yeah.
And I love Chris.
Yeah.
He's one of the nicest guys I know. He's the most genuine, caring person I know. Super sweet guy. Diehard sports fan. Nice guy. And every time I tell him about Philly fans, he rolls his eyes because he's like... We've perpetuated this stigma about our fan base, and there are certain parts of the fan base that take it to these extremes, and it ruins it for everyone.
And I think it's not just that specific fan base. It's that specific sport that really gets...
Oh, I agree with that.
Football, for whatever reason, and I know what the reason is. It's a violent sport. It's a violent game. We have 17 days out of the year. We go nuts on those days. I get it. It's the lead up. It's the sadness after a loss. It's the jubilation after a win. But it's that specific sport that really just ratchets it up to 1,000%. So if you are part of that fan base, it's even worse. So if it's the NFC Championship, and to your point, just be a grown-up.
Well, it's,
God,
okay,
it's,
so
it's,
here,
it's no, no, and I know it's sports.
No, no.
I know it's sports,
no.
But God, it's not. My mom, like, again, I was mentioning my aunt lives over in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And she's a Phillies fan, and the whole family are Phillies, all Philly, everything. My mom, when I was like 5 or 6, she told me, she's like, oh, Philadelphia. The worst. My mom doesn't even like sports, Joe. She doesn't even know what station this is. She just says, my son talks on the radio sometimes. I'm like, you don't even know the station. No, I don't, but I like to brag about you.
Yes.
She doesn't even care about sports. She knows how bad Philly fans are. She's like, I can't stand them. They're horrible.
But bad people. But here's the problem. And I mean this. And like, I'm not one of these people like, shame on the media. But like, this is where I would say, and I'm going to say this to these guys today. Like, guys, when you buy a ticket to a game, look, booing, you know, creative heckling, I get it. It's part of the experience, right? here's where I draw the line. When you're firing things at people from, you know, 20 feet
they
away.
They threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
That part we built up.
No, no, that's St. Nicholas. I know, you don't do that to my guy.
But here's the problem. This is what they always say. They file it under, you know. That's how Philly fans are. And I'm like, can't you have a little higher standards? Like, and I'm not one of these people like, oh, when you take your family to the game, they should be safe. I'm saying when anyone goes to the game, and if they're wearing opposing colors, you shouldn't be spitting on them,
no.
pushing them, putting no. your hands on someone. I don't care what setting in America you're on, putting your hands on someone, can we all agree? I don't care whether it's a sporting event, riding the bus, walking down the street. It's a no-no, okay? Firing beers from across the parking
lot. That's
not
cool. There's a difference.
To me, that's unacceptable. So for me to say that's scumbaggery, I'll stand by that. And you know what? I'd say the same thing. If Niner fans were doing that, I would say, you're a scumbag.
Yes, yes. And listen, we already know what happened. Battle of the Bay, preseason. Like, so they didn't play a long time because we know
and
what happened about that.
Those people were criminals, and they embarrassed our fan base.
Both sides. Yes. Yes. It was very... And listen, I'm a Raider fan. I get it. We're thugs. We're bad people. We're convicts. All that sort of stuff. And you know what? God bless Al Davis. He let into it. You know what? We're misfits. We're doing all this sort of stuff. He like leaned into it
a little bit. But did the media covering the team go, huh, that's just Raider fans?
No.
They would say, like, come on, guys.
Yes. No, seriously. And that's the problem that bothers me. Because if you go to a game at the Coliseum, like the tailgates, and obviously they're in Vegas now, but prior to that, like when they were in Oakland, they had this stereotype about Oakland,
yes.
right? It's like a dangerous place, horrible people, oh, too much color, if you will. That's what people were scared of, basically. It's a very colorful city, and that's what I pride myself in that city. I live there. I'm raising my kids there. I love being a part of that community. People are scared off by it. They're turned off by it. But if you go to the Coliseum parking lot, those tailgates, all-timers, man, so welcoming, even if you're opposed. Yeah, we'll boo if you're wearing a Jesus.
Boo is one thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I never went to a game in which... I watch someone get. Yeah, I watch fights because that happens in
everywhere.
Fights happen everywhere.
Yes,
but to go out of your way to throw something at someone like that, like, come on, man, you can chalk trash all you want. New York Yankee fans get a bad rap, and deservedly so. They boo their play. They're not beating people up.
No,
they're not doing this. It's one specific fan base, and it really, when you guys showed me those videos and you guys posted,
you saw it.
I saw it, man. It kind of made me sick to my stomach a little bit. I was like, come on, man, really?
Well, and Joey,
you guys were trying to enjoy yourselves, and that sucked.
Look, I'm not trying to sit here and be like, oh, the kids, the morality. I'm just saying,
I don't want to get spit on, dude.
That's
human decency.
It's one of the lowest things you can do
spitting
to a human
being. Spitting on someone?
Right?
Come on.
Here's the problem, and I mean this. I mean this sincerely. I take this job very seriously because I was on the outside looking in for so long, and I never thought I'd get a chance to do this, that when I do say things into the microphone, I understand the magnitude and the power of it.
Yes.
Okay? And it really does, to me, I'm being real with you. I'm not trying to pull the shame on you media, but I do believe this. The media has a big influence on this, and when they file everything under, well, you know, that's how Philly fans are. And I would say, could you imagine me, like, if, for example, if something happened, I don't even know, people were clipping all the, this happened at Candlestick and this happened at this game. There are bad people everywhere. But imagine if I came at him, that's just how Niner fans are. Horrible. That's just how Raider fans are. You should understand what you're getting yourself into.
You're sweeping it under the rug. That's basically saying boys will be boys with stuff like that. It's
that's
like,
a
you know
great
what?
Point.
That's, you know what? That we can't use that phrase anymore. You know why? Because it basically okays bad behavior, toxic behavior. No.
Again, every fan base
coach kids.
Yes.
Like, you're trying to coach them up. You're trying to be a parental figure for some of these children, teaching them right and wrong. A lot of these fan base, a lot of these kids, they're getting taught at a young age what to do, and that stays with them on and off the field going forward. I'm trying to raise my kid the right way. Like,
you're spot on.
And I hate when my son sees me get angry. Like, I've been trying to check myself as a fan.
It's hard.
Getting angry at a TV.
Yes.
Like, I try to, like, just check because I don't want my son getting that.
Look,
I got it from my dad, and it goes on and on. And maybe we're sounding soft here.
No, we're
not.
No, we're not.
But
did you see the video with Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa's brother? That is an NFL player. I mean, the things that they're being said to that man are just out of control.
Yes.
And again, I go back to this. It's one thing to have fun.
One guy
it's
I would not
sports.
Want to mess with, by the way, is Joey Bosa.
It's sports. You're having fun. I get it. It's all in good nature. I went to Boston okay, and walked out of a win and a loss.
Yes.
I went to the NFC Championship game the year prior and walked out of a loss. Okay, I've been in many different settings where my team has won or lost at the highest level. And there are ways of conducting yourself as a fan where you could still give the other team crap without being a scumbag.
Yes.
And that's literally all. If any other setting in life, if you acted like that, people would look at you and they go, that's a low life. And yeah. And look, there's equal critique here. If this were a Niner fan, a Giant fan, or a Warrior fan acting that way, I'd say, you're giving us all a bad name.
Yes.
And then I would not come onto the air and go, well, that's just how Warrior fans are.
No.
That to me, like, come
it's
on.
An excuse.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm tired of making excuses.
That's all I want. And I'm going to make that point. So today I want to know, like, I do want to know, and I want to have a conversation with Bonte. Fan behavior. Where do you draw the line on this stuff?
No, it's a good point, and I can't wait to listen to it on the other side of 95.7 The Game.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.